It's the list in your boy at Fightful.com. With Jimmy Van and Sean Ross Sapp, they're on fire. Boom shakalaka.
200 strong.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful's list and your boy. It is March 15th, 2023. We're back here with Jimmy Van to talk all the wrestling news. We got a crazy couple of weeks. We got a good week for Joshi fans. A ton of interviews coming your way. FightfulSelect.com will have those early. I'll tell you more about that later. We're here on the list and your boy. Leave your thumbs ups. Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Tell us what you want to talk about. Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Sean Ross Sapp. I was telling you off the air, I just got back from Orlando. I spent 20 hours over 3 days, over 2 days, really, at three theme parks. I never need to see another theme park for the rest of my life, but definitely got my fill. I was telling Sean, I don't understand how people don't value their time. They're lining up for 90 minutes for a 5-minute ride. Pay the $20 for a lightning lane pass. I don't get it.
Shh. Let them do what they want.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Don't get it. But yeah, it was a good time. But man, oh, Canada, Sean. I'm so glad to be back.
I miss Canada. I was going to come next month. I'm not going to end up coming because there's no media for Impact Rebellion. But I'm hoping to be there soon. But gosh, I got LA soon. I don't think I'm doing Puerto Rico because there's no easy way to get there for me for the Puerto Rico show they're doing. Mm. But I might do London this year. Other than that, got like Indianapolis and some somewhat local stuff coming up soon. But I got that WWE media schedule for Mania week. Woo boy.
I saw Denise post about that. Yeah, I saw that.
Oh my God. It is a busy one.
It's good. I'm glad they're doing that. That's good.
It is. I'm very excited for it. I love it. I'm going to. Some of the numbers on some of the WWE interviews weren't that great for us. So I'm going to try a different approach with some of these. Because I loved, I don't know if you saw the video that your guy Rob put together for our 2K thing.
Where yes, we did, very good. Yes,
it was very good. It was outstanding. So I'm going to look to do some more stuff like that because that hit very, very well. That worked out. I mean, the two things he's done for Fightful just blew my mind. One of them did 250,000 views, for the love of God. The commercial you hated.
Well, people do tend to not look away when there's a car wreck, Sean. You know?
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Oh, man. But guys, get in your super chats, get in your humper chats. If you wonder what the hell those are, here at youtube.com/Fightful, we have super chats that allow you to get your question or statement read on the air. We have humper chats at humperchats.com, which is our Streamlabs platform that allows you to get your question or statement read on the air. If that's not enough for you, or you just want a little bit more, FightfulSelect.com. That is sort of our lifeblood. That's where you get exclusive news multiple times a day. In fact, right after this show, we're going to have The List Goes On. We're going to give you an interesting note about AEW contracts. You also get like 35, 40 podcasts a month. But one of those shows is the Q&A podcast. Grapsity does one every other week. I do one every single week. It allows you to sort of shape what we hunt down in the way of news and get your questions answered there. So plenty of ways for you guys to be interactive with us that I'm very excited about. And let's go ahead and get into a couple of them. Van Twinblade says, not sure what your plans are on the 26th. You need to make a note to call Shaza and say goodbye because Wasteland War Party is going to destroy her and Lainey Luck. I got my own plans in order for Shaza McKenzie, and she's probably not going to like them, but she'll just have to wait and see. But if I were her, I'd probably stay away from America. Kate says, happy, a couple bucks for two fellas I'm happy to work for. Nothing to do with it being invoice day at Fightful. Appreciate you both for real.
I haven't seen them.
I've been slammed today. The time change has me messed up. We got a lot of stuff for the Joshi show, Tokyo Joshi Pro show this weekend. Me and Scott are working on, so lots of stuff there. But
if you decide you like money, go ahead and send those invoices.
Yeah, that's fair. Blues fan says, hope you're well. Twitter accounts such as Zero and Boozer are claiming Reigns is returning. What have you heard on this front, and what are your thoughts? If he does, they don't know about it. That much I tell you.
Reigns is returning?
Retaining.
Oh, retaining.
If he is, those ain't none of them clued in. I ain't clued in. Dave ain't clued in. Mike isn't clued in. John Pollock ain't clued in. It's the WrestleMania main event. They ain't clued in right now. It's just not the way it works. Bridget says, do you know if Danhausen is hurt? An incredibly generous super chat that we'll spend some time on from Bridget. Says, do you know if Danhausen is hurt? He came out last week with a sling on his arm. Well, he's actually going to be in Lexington next weekend, so I'll probably see him, say hi. But yeah, I don't think it's that bad or anything like that. I guess we'll find out. But I reached out, and I think he just said, oh, thanks for checking on me, but doing okay. Don't know if it's like a long-term injury or anything like that. He did not wrestle on the tapings last week. He has not wrestled since that AEW Revolution match. I'm glad that he had that Revolution match because a lot of people got to figure out what exactly it is that he could do, because as of right now, he's just comedic character. But what he was there was a guy who could actually wrestle. But what I liked, Jimmy, was even though he was the guy that could actually wrestle a little bit, he still got pinned. Like, he still hasn't shaken that in just one appearance. I thought that was very smart. But Danhausen's been a good hire for them.
I love Danhausen. I have so much respect for him. He is the epitome of what perseverance can do. And I've talked about him before, and I've talked about his story, but the fact he was going to give it up and decided I'm going to try one more thing, and look at him. Like, I have so much respect for his hustle and for his perseverance.
Sometimes that's what you need. You need to set that self-imposed thing on you that says, okay, this is going to be it. It's do or die. Bridget, thank you so much. You are always so generous to us. If you go over to Fightful Scraps, we've got a Danhausen compilation interview, like of all the ones that we had done up to one point. We'll probably drop a second one eventually because we're talking to him like all the time on camera. He's just wonderful. But I think he'll probably be all right soon, but I guess we'll see. Have you heard any new matches on the card for Mania outside of Usos, Owens, and Zayn, says KE775. I was told that Legado is going to be involved to some capacity, or was supposed to be as of a couple weeks ago. Outside of that, I don't know, but DJ Cass does ask, do you think AJ makes it to the Andre Battle Royal for Mania? Well, this hasn't been officially announced, Jimmy, but I want them to do the Andre Battle Royal, and I would love them to do what I said, the Sensational Invitational Battle Royal. One leads off one night, one leads off the second night. It is as important as you tell us it is. Make it be for something. Make it for a title shot. Like, why not say somebody wins that? Like, and then they get a world title shot on Raw and SmackDown. What would that hurt?
I agree. I mean, everybody, Mania is the show. Everybody wants a spot on the show. You can't have everybody on the card. I don't know why they stopped doing the Battle Royal. Because it made all the sense in the world to let everybody have that payday. Like you said, you put it on COVID. The pre-show.
COVID is why they stopped doing the Battle Royal.
Okay, but they didn't do it last year either. Right?
They did it. They did it like on the SmackDown before, or
that's
something
right.
like that.
Yes, they.
But
did.
That doesn't count. That doesn't count. Like, it's a Battle Royal, but nobody feels special about being on the SmackDown the night before. You know, Madcap Moss won it.
I don't even remember it.
Yeah.
But I agree. There should be stakes. Doing the thing where they then make them pose with their arms crossed in front of the Andre trophy. It's stupid. It's like pointing to the sign. So make it mean something. But I think that every guy and girl on that roster should have their opportunity because that's what they look forward to. So they should bring them back.
Like, Madcap Moss won it. What happened with him? Mojo Rawley won it. I love Mojo. One of my favorite people. But I thought Cesaro, Big Show, Corbin. Even Matt Hardy was a decent winner because, you know, he had history behind him. Braun was a good winner. Jey Uso was a phenomenal winner for what he was involved in.
Cesaro had one of the biggest pops ever. Remember when he dumped out? Didn't he dump out Paul White?
And then they shot.
And then they turned him so heel bad. after that. Yeah.
We got a bunch more super chats. Starting to think, Jimmy, this should just be a super chat show.
A super chat show. Yeah.
I mean, it would help our revenue a lot. Dante V says, what's going on with Roxanne Perez? Bad creative. And then Chi-Town Spurs says, I know Roxanne didn't really pass out, but is this angle covering another injury or potential call-up? Feels like overbooked nonsense otherwise. Well, I mean, they have featured this heavily on TV. She did it right after a match. But Jimmy, I was actually able to hear from the actual doctor that is tending to her.
Uh-huh.
And look, here's a picture of him. You remember this guy, Jimmy?
Yeah, vaguely, yeah.
That's the guy. That's their doctor. Uh-huh. For those of you who aren't familiar, this is the Shawn Michaels angle from late 1995.
Uh-huh.
After he legitimately got his ass tuned up. I mean, not his ass tuned up. I mean, I don't want to by what they claimed was like 9 Marines.
Yeah, that's like right.
9. Could you imagine people whipping his ass? But then they did a concussion angle. And I mean, right down to how she fell, it was the same thing, Jimmy.
Pretty similar. Pretty similar. Sean, I think, was one-on-one with Owen Hart, if I remember right. It's been a long time.
He got hit with an enziguri. It was after. So here's the order of events. He got jumped. He couldn't compete. He couldn't defend his Intercontinental title. Mm-hmm. But he came back like 2 weeks later. And it was supposed to be from a concussion. Well, then he got kicked in the head by Owen Hart, and he was dealing with post-concussion syndrome. We've got, by the way, Joel, that person has donated super chats and humper chats. It's just the, so I want to explain this to people that are sending super chats and humper chats while Joel scolds them. They are sending super chats as we see here, but it's just not on the chat. That makes it so much easier for us to see when you can do that. So if you can send them on the actual super chat, that goes a long way. But Amir says, any news on other inductees other than Stacy? Nope. Stacy, Muta, and Ray, it was all I heard they had nailed down so far.
Stacy Keebler?
Yeah.
Oh, good for her. I never heard that one. Good for her.
It's on FIFOselect.com.
I haven't checked today.
It was yesterday.
I haven't checked yesterday either. I just got back into town, Sean.
Kim Gray says, what do you know about Bray's situation? So it's a physical situation, under the weather, ill. That's all I'm willing to say about it. But that's what creative was told. And not a creative issue at all. We will probably get more into that later. But, man, we are getting hit heavy with super chats, Jimmy. I'm telling you, it needs to be a super chat show.
People love me, Sean.
Yeah, I bet. They send more when you're not here. Connor says, I know it's not wrestling related.
Trying to appease you.
But that bad man is out of the NFC North. Bear down. I don't give a shit about Aaron Rodgers. I hope Denise and her husband fly out here so they can watch the Jets lose to the Bengals in person. I'm like a crack addict waiting on my season ticket call right now. I don't care about the New York Jets. They can go square to hell.
Well, good on Pat McAfee that he got to break that story. Good
that
for
was,
him.
That was big. Mm. That was big. We've also, by the way, about the Roxanne thing, I think it's possible she could be called up. Sure. But I hate the idea of vacating titles when you can avoid it. Like,
I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. And lose Ricardo says, super chats that don't add up to $2 US don't get to send anything. Well, there you go. I don't make the rules, my friends. Humperchats.com is able to do that, though. So you can head over there. Jacob Donnelly says, happy Jeff Jarrett winning an AEW championship day to those who celebrate.
People are really pissed about him getting a shot, aren't they?
I'm not at all.
Yeah.
What do you think about the title belt, the change to the international title?
Indifferent. I saw a certain someone questioning the meaning of the word international, but whatever. I'm indifferent about it. I'm just glad they don't have all the Ring of Honor belts on television anymore.
Okay. So King of the North says, Jimmy, does McDavid hit 150 points this season?
Yes, he will. He's having a hell of a season. The Oilers are looking good. They're looking good. Waiting for the playoffs.
Nice. We've got, we've just got so many super chats coming in. Like it's hard to keep track of them all, but we're going to.
They love me, Sean. They love me.
Yeah. Here's one. KE775 says, hey, Sean, as a wrestler, ever sent you a text? Has a wrestler ever sent you a text like Rogers did to Schefter? Did you see this, Jimmy?
I think the question should be, how many wrestlers have sent a text saying, lose my number?
I've never gotten a text like that. usually they'll just not reply. But I mean, if they did, I'd just be like, all right, the way that I put it is nobody owes me information. Like I saw, and I actually spoke to Brian Gewirtz about his tweet last week where he talked about like nobody in wrestling should provide privileged information, have some respect for your work. And it's like, and I got like over 300 contacts in wrestling, like in major companies across Impact, New Japan, ROH, AEW, WWE. It's just the nature of it. It's always going to happen, but nobody owes me information. I owe our readers information. So if somebody doesn't want me to, doesn't want to tell me anything, doesn't want to talk to me, I understand it. I've only had one person say that they didn't want to do an interview with me because of the nature of my job. And I was like, well, that's understandable. Not everybody's going to want to talk to me or want to appear on screen, but I would say about like, well over 99% of my interactions are generally positive and cordial. And I thought that Rogers was cordial too. It was just like, nice try though. That's him recognizing you got to do your job, but I'm not, you're not doing it through me. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And I don't see anything wrong with Schefter trying it. I thought it was
did you see, funny. Did you see when Alex McCarthy interviewed Mercedes?
Yeah. And she was like, well, if I was going to put this out there, I'm not going to tell you.
Right. Yeah. Almost Rogers-esque.
A reminder to Amir, please put your questions in.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer. A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time, but the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Update your home with low-maintenance vinyl windows from Jeld-Wen. They're durable, energy efficient, and are low maintenance. Menards carries over 100 different size and style options in stock, ready to take home today. Save big on Jeld-Wen windows now at Menards. And don't forget to check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Super chat. That makes it a lot easier for us to find it. Jarrett 2023. Bree woo, bree woo, bree woo, bree. You gonna sing My World, Jimmy?
I think I'm all right.
That can be the goal. Listen, it's my Fightful Select goal to keep us above 8,000. And sometimes sometimes it's difficult.
Uh-huh.
I would like to set a goal where Jimmy sings My World, the Jeff Jarrett song. Pretty soon
we get back to 10, I'll consider it. Maybe a duet with you. A duet with you.
Listen, unless somebody starts getting bit again, I don't think that's gonna happen. But I've been wrong about our goals in the past, so
yeah.
Van true. Twinblade says, HBK, don't rebook your own storylines challenge. Impossible. The ego on him. This is why Hitman was better. I don't have a problem with him rebooking angles that happened 28 years before, because if you would have told me that the Shawn Michaels concussion storyline actually happened in 1968 as well, I'd have said, who gives a shit, man?
A lot of today's audience, they have no clue. Not until exactly. They read about it on the internet. Yeah.
Blues fan says, wouldn't all the writers have to be clued into the main event of Mania finish since they have to plan ahead, or is that a closely guarded thing usually? Nope, they wouldn't. They wouldn't have to be. Some of them would be, but not all of them. Absolutely not. Some of it, I mean, it's pro wrestling. It changes very, very quickly. So absolutely not. Jake Salazar says, face Santos is perfect to dethrone Gunther, possibly at SummerSlam. I want to see Santos Escobar continue to get like sustained good reactions before I'm sitting here saying, Gunther, beat him.
I agree.
It's got to be the right person to beat Gunther.
Especially when he just put over Dominic.
Yeah. Matt Hennessy says, what call-ups do you want after Mania? Personally, I'm hoping for Breaker, Grimes, Strong, Starks, and Pretty Deadly. Roderick Strong would be a good one. I don't know what exactly he would do. Zoe Stark would be good. I think they need some more women's tag teams, but they keep breaking them up. Mm. Ivy Nile is, she's ready. She looks like a main roster person. Casey and Caden has been one I've been saying for a long time. Like, why not bring them up? What else are they going to do down there? But that's a big one that I look at as well. Cameron Grimes needs to be up as well. What's the percentage? Wood says this is for me and Jimmy. If WWE sells to Saudi, is this the beginning of the end? I'm thinking in terms of guys like Sammy and KO leaving and not getting free agents. Jimmy, where do you stand on this one?
I think if they were to buy it, they're not going to run it. And so I think that a Sami Zayn probably would never have to deal with him. Now, maybe given his beliefs and given the political climate, maybe he would still decide it's not a place where he wants to be. And there could be other talents that feel the same way. But I think they would be essentially silent owners. They would have somebody run the day-to-day. And so I don't think a lot would change from that perspective. But I can't speak for them. You know, I guess we'd have to see what would happen if the Saudis... I'll tell you this. It's mid-March. I think there's an earnings call scheduled the end of May. By then, they should have some idea. By that earnings call at the end of May, they should have some idea if there's going to be a sale or if they're going to sign a new round of rights fees. So that's going to be an interesting call.
And obviously, I don't want them to run it because otherwise they're going to be trying to sign Falaba thinking he's Yokozuna because they don't have a damn clue about wrestling. Like they know what they like and what they want to see, but... Deshire says, the new thing going forward is if there's a bad segment, Vince is back, but I doubt Vince would only book segments instead of the whole show. Thoughts? Okay. For all these people that I see online that's like, oh, you can't convince me Vince isn't back. You can't convince me Vince isn't back. You know when you won't be able to convince me that Vince isn't back? When we start seeing the same match over and over and over again. And right now, we don't see that. I believe he has input, as Triple H told people. Thus far, I mean, I've heard people in the company that believe, you know, they're like, he's got to be. And I'm like, well, give me the evidence. Maybe not so much. I'm not seeing the same rematches. And quite frankly, Vince would forget that he booked shit and think, that's a good idea. I'd love to do that match. They'd be like, bro, you did that 3 times last month. Ah, well, that's one more. Well, then we get it 4 more times. We haven't seen that yet. We haven't seen the rematches over and over again. Newsflash, guys. Good bookers have shitty booking decisions. That happens all the time. Mediocre bookers have mediocre and bad booking decisions. They ain't all going to be hits. Not every bad idea that we see is a Vince McMahon idea. And not even when Vince McMahon was around was every bad idea a Vince McMahon idea. He signed off on them all because that's what he did. But... I like, to me, like the signs of him being back just are not there. They're just not there right now.
I agree with you. I do believe he's got input, but I think there'd be a very notable backstage change that you would hear about.
Yeah. Now, okay. You know? This isn't a super chat, but I want to address this because I get this every once in a while. Sean, just go on keeping it 100 and deal with Conan and Disco. Okay. I want to say this. I don't know Conan, so I don't have any comments on him. Disco is a little bitch. He always has been a little bitch. He always will be a little bitch. They platform racist, transphobic, homophobic people that make up stuff, that got caught making up stuff numerous times to the point where Killer Cross threatened that person in person about making up stuff. When I told Disco that this person made up news and disseminated it to their audience, he said, nah, I don't give a fuck. And said, this guy pays somebody for WWE news. That's what he thinks of his audience. He believes that his audience is too stupid to know the difference. And it's the same issue I had with Russo, where I don't believe in treating our audience like they're stupid or an audience like they're stupid. If they want good, honest news, they know where to come. Because what you'll see out of that guy and Vince is, well, I've lived it, so I know a lot more. Well, that's great. You can know a lot more about taking bumps and all that stuff. I'll know more about breaking accurate news. How about that one? Ain't never doing that show with somebody that platforms a racist, transphobic, homophobic weirdo that goes after people's kids. Fucking stupid.
Let's get some super chats. Let's get some super chats, and each one is going to be requesting that you do an impression. Let's do that.
That's what they do on the Tuesday show.
Pump them in, people. You want them to do an impression, send it in. You'll do it.
I'm like, they need me a lot more than I need them. I'll say that. And I ain't interested in doing that show. I barely do anybody else's show. Why the hell am I going to do his show? Yeah, come on. Come on. Somebody that like attacks like our credibility, but is constantly like, oh, come on the show, but come on the show. I've been asked like a half dozen times. I ain't doing a show that platforms some racist. No, get the hell out of here. SAS says, have you heard anything for Raw after Mania? Do you think there's going to be surprises? I think there will be surprises.
Absolutely.
Personally. Yeah.
Hunter knows, man. Hunter's got his finger on the pulse of that.
Kate says Sean won't do our Friday show. Yeah, I think that with the Triple H regime, you've got to immediately make things as special as possible. 100%. And I think that's an important one. I think they need to do that for Friday too, even though I know it's a bit removed from all that. Caden says, do an impression of me, Jonathan. Okay, here you go. Hi, I'm Caden. Here's $2 for you to talk about something I was barely involved in. Caden sends a super chat and says, happy birthday to the gum lord, MJF. Meet Normus says, what's good, Jimmy? SRS. Where's Miro? Why isn't he having weekly matches with Takeshita and rest of the Sirloin Beef Sons of Bitches division? If Jeff Jarrett wins, I'll riot. This is a... why? I'll tell you where Miro is. Bulgaria and home. Those are the two places he is. He's completely fine. He's healthy. He would love to be doing something, I'm sure. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if maybe he's passed on creative. I don't know if there wasn't anything thrown his way. I just know he's healthy, Jimmy, and I'd be doing whatever I could to get him involved in the show.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know his contractual status. If I was, and I assume he's not available, if I was Hunter and you could grab him, bring back Lana, I mean, there's money there, Sean. You know, yeah. There's money there. It's a shame. I've talked about this before. I used to always think Lana was the star of that act until I saw Rusev or Miro on social media being himself. And he's such a funny, self-deprecating guy. I remember I saw a video of him driving in his car singing Friends in Little Places by Garth Brooks. And he's just such a funny, self-deprecating guy. There's money in him, and AEW doesn't see it. I mean, that's just how it is. What else can he say?
What's the percentage? Wood said Sean's disco impersonation is right up there with Bruce Pritchard's Vince impersonation. I mean, listen, I gave him the benefit of the doubt that maybe he was just a troll for a little while because we had some mutual friends. But that same mutual friend, Jimmy, once when I argued with Disco online, called me and said, Glenn Gilberti is why people sell extended car warranties via the phone. And I said, okay, I get exactly what you mean. Zero Prime says, positive note, glad Riho saw that she's truly loved by her fans. Shout out to our friend Jay Fowler and Jesse the Buckeye, two people that have went through and are going through an incredible amount of shit on their own that took time out of their lives, which, again, they're going through a ton of stuff to send Riho like these positive messages from fans after she got off social media. That made me very happy to see. Amir says, any news on Batista in the Hall of Fame? He wanted to go in, but as the last that I had heard, Ray was supposed to be the headliner.
You can't put Ray over Batista. So he's going to have to be. This is mind-boggling. Let me tell you this. And I'd like to get comments from people on this. My wife was always a massive Dwayne Johnson fan. Right? Massive Dwayne Johnson fan. Followed him on social media. Knew a lot more about him than I do because she followed all of his shit. We were watching Knock at the Cabin?
Yeah.
This is movie Knock at the Cabin. We're watching that movie.
He was great in it.
He was. And my wife told me that she has become a bigger fan of Dave Bautista than she has of Dwayne Johnson because he picks more, a wider range of roles. The Rock seems to do a lot of the same stuff. Yeah. He picks a wider range of roles. And there's other reasons that I don't need to get into. She thinks The Rock has become kind of self-centered. That's her opinion. But Batista's become a major star, dude. And he wants to do this. He wants to do this. How are you not accommodating this guy? It's mind-boggling. I don't understand it. He still loves the business. He was on Fallon showing off action figures a couple of months ago. He wants to do it, and it's mind-boggling that they're not all over it. I don't get it. I don't get it.
I'll tell you what's mind-boggling to me, Jimmy, that there is a UFC pay-per-view this weekend, and people haven't used NordVPN.com/Fightful. I mean, my God, Jimmy. You're not going to pay $80 for a UFC pay-per-view when you use NordVPN.com/Fightful. I'm going to pay about 1/6 that price. This is the same VPN talked about by HuffPost, BuzzFeed, Forbes, BBC, Wired, all that good stuff. Shield your data from snoops and criminals. That's important because let's be real. I'm going to snoop. You want to shield it from me. You also want to protect yourself on public Wi-Fi. That's what I do when I'm traveling LA, hopefully London, Toronto, all these places I go. I'm protecting myself and my data. Not only that, you can secure every device you own, like this phone, this PC, the smart TV over there, the router up against the wall, all on one subscription with the fastest VPN in the world. They have great tiers you can choose from, whether you want the Nord Locker, Nord Pass, the VPN, or all three. And there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. It's a great deal. One of the best deals we have going. Like this will, if you're a pay-per-view buyer, this will pay for itself the first month. And you're going to unlock a whole lot of content. You can unlock content early, too. March has been like a big, big month for TV. You got Yellow Jackets coming back, the second half of You. You got Ted Lasso, all this great stuff. And sometimes you can watch those shows a few hours early if you don't feel like waiting until midnight. But you can watch them a little bit early with NordVPN.com/Fightful. If you use NordVPN.com/Fightful, hit me up on Twitter so I can give you a shout out. I absolutely love these guys. They are wonderful. Legitimately, it's probably the best sponsor that we have. Just love those dudes.
Did you hear that this season of Lasso is going to be the last one?
Is it?
Yeah, bummer. Love that show.
It is. Jake says, Cornette needs to be removed from all the internet. Can't stand that guy. He's worse than Russo, Disco, anyone else. Listen, I can't pretend that I listen to his stuff. No offense to you or him or your super chat. It's just, I don't listen to it.
Should I read the email? I got it around here somewhere.
We've got a clip. YouTube.com/FightfulScraps. JM says, DST is nice. I can watch you at 3 a.m., not 4 a.m. I wish they would permanently keep these hours right here, period. It was like 8 p.m. yesterday, and it was still daylight out. Loved it. Deshire says, there a possibility Regal runs NXT after HBK runs NXT Euro? There's so many great talent being ruined with terrible creative here. I don't think Shawn Michaels is going to relocate for NXT Europe, and I don't think Regal is either. I think Regal is firmly planted in the States. I think they'll have somebody completely different run that, Jimmy.
Yeah, I almost wondered if they meant to say ruins NXT Europe, because like, why would Shawn Michaels want to run NXT Europe? That doesn't make any sense at all.
Yeah. Sorry, Deshires. Maybe you can clarify. SAS says, as of now, what matches are you looking forward to for Mania and NXT? For me, it's Cody and Roman and Breaker and Melo. Just to go different, Asuka and Bianca is the main one that I'm looking forward to. Yeah, after Bianca's match of the year contenders with Sasha and Becky, I want to see what she does with Asuka. And assuming we get Gunther, Sheamus, and Drew, that one is a big one.
Interesting. I'm looking forward to Usos, Kevin, Sammy, assuming that happens. Yeah. And I got to be honest, Dominic has sold me a ticket, Sean. Yeah, I'm loving the Dom character, this hardened criminal. You know, I'm loving it. And so I'm looking forward to Dom and Ray. And this begs, here's a question for you. So he officially challenged Ray on Raw. Ray said no. What dastardly deed is Dominic going to have to do to get Ray to agree to a match?
Attacking
Conan. Not bad. I was thinking he might go after his own sister and mom. Maybe.
But yeah. Attacking Conan at the Hall of Fame speech.
You think they would wait that long? That's like the day before.
Maybe. Yeah. Why not? I mean, Is anybody going to not go to WrestleMania because Rey and Dom isn't on there?
No, fair.
That's a late sell. I think that'd be good. TK, by the way, says, do you guys feel like Rey retires after Mania? I have a feeling he goes over this story and he goes all the way to 40, WrestleMania 40, and Dom retires Rey there. If you're doing this story continually, you got to keep them on separate brands because I don't trust the creative for a full year, no matter who's in control of it. I feel like if Rey wanted somebody to retire him, it would be Dom. Probably.
I think that he would want a bow put on it, meaning that they reconcile before he retires.
And what's the percentage? Wood says Rey still hasn't hit Dom. Dom has got to slap Angie at this point. Damn.
I was thinking something. Yeah. Something.
Like maybe puts her down or something.
Yeah, maybe. The whole Miss Elizabeth thing. Yeah, maybe.
Matt Hennessy says, so WrestleMania is looking really good, but was there a match you wanted for this year on the card that can't be on it because of injury and suspension? For me, it was Gargano and Ciampa, or versus Ciampa and Orton versus Riddle. Orton versus Riddle was one that I was hoping that we would eventually get on WrestleMania. And unfortunately, not just injury, Riddle's whole situation, we haven't been able to get. And that sucks. But now whenever they're back, that's going to be a marquee match. Like, I don't know when Orton's coming back. I want to specify that. At this point, I feel like whenever Riddle comes back, Orton should come back at the same time. Like, you hear the music, everybody pops for Riddle, and they're like, hell yeah. And then Orton's music hits, and everybody's like just going crazy. They win whatever match they're in, and then bam, the RKO. Whether it be from Riddle or Orton. Because I think it would actually be a nice approach to have Riddle go heel in this.
It'd be different.
I think that'd be kind
of
cool.
Yeah, it'd be different. In terms of the match that I was hoping for Mania, it was Rock Roman. I thought the bloodline build was going to be very interesting, or the family tree build.
Yeah, yeah. Any news on the Rock? I was going to say the Rico. He was a taxi driver in Las Vegas for a little while. The Rock, no, he ain't doing it. My friend Sada, I just loved her tweet that she put out a few months ago. She's like, I'm pissed off. The Rock's out here doing all these movies, but he can't do a people's elbow with a muffin top.
I mean, you know what he could do? Do you remember a few years ago they did in the Superdome, they did the Hogan Austin Rock promo?
Yes.
They could do that. I mean, they're going to be in LA. They could do that.
You know? Yeah. The news on The Rock is that there is no news. That's the unfortunate aspect of that. There is no real news on that. He's not, they don't have anything planned for him. They said that they'll keep having those discussions. Darren says, if Jeff Jarrett doesn't beat OC tonight, TK should be disqualified from Booker of the Year 2023. I think he won our Booker of the Year as well, as voted on by you, the fan. But I mean, Triple H did very, very well. And I feel like if he had the full year, Triple H would have maybe taken that. Again, maybe. we're gonna consolidate a lot of our awards. The first year we did it, we wanted them to be very, very expansive. So instead of like men's, women's, tag, under 20 indie performers, we're probably gonna do an indie performer of the year. And I'm thinking about doing it for Booker and promotion of the year because I feel like those are gonna win the same every year. So we'll see. Brock Omos, match of the decade. Says Jake Salazar, I bet they're going to have a fun 5-minute match, but yeah.
They had one spot on Rush, on one spot.
Yeah. We still haven't gotten into your list. We're still on Super Chats. I love it, Jimmy. We're making that money.
Oh, people are going to complain later about, oh, you said you're going to talk about all this stuff, but it's fine. Whatever.
We are. We're going to talk about it. Nicholas Olsen said, do you see the Bellas going to AEW to be a part of the Outcast, or is their in-ring career over? I won't say their in-ring career is over. The right situation, the right money. Can cause anything, but Nikki just said they're not going to AEW. So I don't think they are right now. Yeah.
I'm kind of surprised that this is as big a news as it was because they hadn't been on WWE television in ages.
They're still very influential figures and they're still on TV. So,
well, Tommy says, how were they still on TV?
They have a TV show, reality show. Now they've got a serious show.
They were still on a reality show, like even like recently?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Nikki had the new show about her getting married or something.
Oh, like I had that. No idea.
I didn't watch it, but
yeah, me neither, obviously.
Will Ricky and Kenny make the jump to WWE? WWE would be ridiculous to not offer both of them, but especially Ricky Starks in his 20s, can cut promos, has a great relationship with Cody Rhodes. I think WWE would be ridiculous to not try to sign him.
I would love to see Omega in some of the dream matches that they could have there, but I saw an interview with him recently where he said he's going to follow his heart. He's not going. That's my bet.
Okay. Kenny, I think Kenny's staying. I think Ricky stands a decent chance of going. Oh, we already read that one. Cody Rhodes, that's it. Will Balor's demon be purple? I think it needs to have more heel vibes to it. I think that needs to be what happens there, because the last demon that we saw got embarrassed and humiliated.
And he can't do that entrance the same way. It's got to be different.
No, it's got to be different. This is a good one. John Wick GM says, Dom lets Rhea put his sister through a table. That's very good. And also, I mean, those who know. You know who Rhea Ripley dates, right, Jimmy?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes. That's very funny.
Aaliyah had a relationship with on television.
That's very funny if they could somehow find a way to tie that in. Very funny.
So there's a little bit.
Maybe
there.
Rhea could be like, this is for you, buddy. That'd be
Jesus
awesome.
Jesus Christ. All right. Says, cheers to ROH. Cheers to the ROH review show, Kate and Reg. Have you heard if Ashley D'Ambois has accepted the contract offer from AEW? They expected her to. As far as I know, that was the plan. I'll see what I can find out. But man, like, it's so funny. I talked to somebody at the Nightmare Factory about her like maybe a month and a half ago. And I said, how is this girl not signed? And now she is. So quick plug. We have an ROH post show every week now with Kate and Reg. And then as soon as they're done streaming, they pass it off to Joel and Cresta. It's been very, very well received. I'm so glad you guys are digging that show and that method. It puts eyes on ROH, puts eyes on Impact. If those of you who don't get Impact can keep up with it now. Those of you who don't pay for ROH can keep up with it now. Just so happy with how that went.
You think Taya is the mystery Canadian?
She says no. Really? She's still got MLW dates in April. She's hosting early morning Guy Steele's show. So I don't think it is.
I really hope it's Lufisto. That'd be fantastic.
Things ain't smooth there. I wish it was Lufisto. Lufisto is one of my favorites ever. She has gotten herself in incredible shape, and she is a legend.
Yeah, and she's just such a nice person.
Yes, she is. I always say there are people you want in your locker room, like, that are very underrated. QT Marshall, for all that talk last week, he's the type of person you want in your locker room. Lufisto is the type of person you want in your locker room. Matt Cardona coming back to the E. I think eventually, but I don't know about right now.
You know, I was half wondering if I was going to bump into him on a roller coaster in Orlando.
Well, let's pause a couple of the super chats right now and get to your list 40 minutes into the show, Jimmy.
Yeah, I mean, Jesus, I don't even know where to start at this point. Okay, so let's talk about one of the things that you reported, which was that a pitch was made among the various pitches that was made to Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah!
Yeah, that a pitch was made for him in LA Knight. I have really...
What?
I've really warmed up to LA Knight. He's really caught on with the crowd. I posted a video from the Toronto show last week where he really got a big reaction from the Toronto crowd. So he's really gotten over. And I'll be honest with you, I've been disappointed with his handling on television. He has not won a match on television since before Elimination Chamber. He got beat by Kofi Kingston on SmackDown, which I thought was a horrible decision. He was the latest jobber to the stars for Cody Rhodes on Raw, which I didn't like. Haven't liked his handling, but the guy has it. Do you think that they might, just like we talked about earlier, do the impromptu promo Stone Cold and LA Knight? Because that makes a lot of sense. And LA Knight could keep up with them on the mic.
I think they should. I think they absolutely should. They're going to be out there sounding like a Little John song, but it's the right thing to do. It's the most entertaining slam dunk method that I can think of. Is them just going back and forth. Yeah, what? Yeah, what? Yeah, what?
Right.
I think that would be great. And then kick, wham, stunner. There you go. People want to like LA Knight.
They do
so much. So just put him in this big segment. Like, why not?
They see the talent in him. And he's getting the reaction. There have been reports that WWE has recognized the fan reception that they're going to push him better after Mania. Have you heard anything about that, or is it just speculation?
It's speculation by people who want their previous reports or dart throwing at a wall to be true.
Okay. That's what okay. Really is. Well, I really like him. And again, I mean, the program with Bray, he was a star of that program. And he doesn't get an opportunity the way that I wish he would, because the guy's good. And he's really, we talked about this before. There's certain people that are made for the main roster, yes, as opposed to NXT. He's one of them. Like, he's tailor made for the main roster. And so we'll see what happens.
LA Knight should have been brought back to WWE in like 2017.
I agree.
Like, he did that stuff with TNA. Like, he was in a group with, I think it's Tonga Loa and Drew McIntyre in Impact, like in 2015. They were the Rising. And I had never really seen LA Knight before when back then. And he was outstanding. And like, by 2017, WWE should have been trying to bring him back. Like, they should have been a long time ago.
I mean, he's already like 42.
Yeah.
So, you know, time goes by.
I think he's 40. Yeah, he's 40.
Okay. All right.
But still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I asked you about this one off the air. Brock Lesnar. So I've read some reports that Brock at Raw in Boston was saying goodbye to certain people, saying that he's finishing up. And I was questioning what his contractual status is, because when he was on McAfee's podcast, he indicated that he wasn't planning to go anywhere anytime soon. And I couldn't help but think of the fact that when John Jones just won the heavyweight title in the UFC and he did an interview and he was asked, who's your dream opponent? He said Brock Lesnar. Now, there's no fucking way Brock Lesnar is going to fight. He's going to be 46 in July, but yeah, I could see him having the mentality where he wants to try to use it as leverage. Have you heard about him, you know, supposedly saying his goodbyes to some people? And do you think it's a leverage thing?
I have. I don't know if that's a leverage thing, but I think that he would absolutely use that as leverage. And you know what I would say if I were WWE? I would say, well, I'll see you when you're done, buddy, because that's leverage for us. You being in a UFC world title fight, like, sure, just come on back afterwards. See you when you're done.
Not after Jones takes him out in the first round, you know?
Well, I mean, everybody who's anybody knows how that would happen.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I want to talk about a couple of recent AEW controversies. I know that the devoted fans are going to hate this and the AEW haters are going to love it. And I try to stay nonpartisan to everything. So I'm going to just try to call it the way I see it. The first one I want to talk about is the whole MJF thing at Revolution with that kid. And I know I'm a little late because I wasn't here last week. I've heard that it was not water, but alcohol. Can you confirm that?
That was the word. Yeah.
Okay, that was tequila.
Was tequila, yeah.
Right, okay. So when that happened at Revolution, I posted on Twitter on that Sunday night, and I said, MJF is a great heel, but he hasn't learned to turn it off. And if AEW is going to make him their champion for any length of time, he better learn. And that's what I posted. Yeah. All kinds of people got on me, Sean. Oh, he's a great heel. You're so easily triggered. You're so easily angered. I was not offended by what he did. I was not angry about what he did. It was obviously not premeditated. It was a spur of the moment thing. He saw the woman with the cup in her hand, totally spur of the moment thing. And I get that. The reason that it was a really bad idea and the reason that he needs to learn from it is because they're in a very different climate now versus the old heels from 30 years ago that people are saying that MJF is like. They're saying he's a throwback to the heels from the 70s and 80s. Very different climate, right? Back then, they didn't have live national TV. They didn't have live worldwide television. They didn't have pay-per-view. They didn't have multi-million dollar rights fee deals. They had regional television that the promotions had to pay for. And it was a very different world. Matter of fact, back then, you could have a wrestler be a babyface in one territory and a heel in another one, and the people wouldn't know unless they drove across the state line to a show, because they could only catch the regional show. AEW today, not only do they have all those things I mentioned, they also have corporate sponsorship. They also have to deal with social media, and they have to deal with a pretty triggered society. And when I say triggered society, I don't mean just people. I mean corporations. Yeah. How many times, Sean, have we heard about an ad campaign got canceled because of an accusation? Or so-and-so gets pulled from a TV show because of an accusation. If MJF had done that on Dynamite, I would not have been surprised at all to find out later a sponsor pulled their ad by Warner Brothers Discovery is on Tony Khan's ass. Wouldn't have been surprised at all that happened. And we also live in a very litigious society now. And what he did technically could be looked at as assault on a minor, technically. And so as great as MJF is, he needs to learn when to turn it off. And I don't think you can use his age anymore as an excuse. He's 27 now. Yeah. So I don't think you can use that as an excuse. He's got to understand when to turn it off. And if he doesn't understand when to turn it off, he cannot be your champion long term. And that's my opinion.
People also have to remember how he came up with like CZW and stuff like that. Like he came up working like the indies. And I know that he is such an AEW guy that people often forget that he worked the indies. And Moondog Spot says Jimmy got worked hard on this. No, he didn't. And Moondog Spot, you want to know how we knew? Will Washington was right there. He was right there, and he saw it all unfold. He spoke with them. You got worked hard on this, Moondog Spot. this may be hard to realize, but we're very good at figuring out what is a work and what isn't a work. This was not that. I'm sure they wish it was at this point, but it just wasn't that.
Yep. So that was the first thing I wanted to mention. And the next one, I know some people are going to get ruffled on this one. The booking of Will Hobbs over Wardlow for the TNT title on Dynamite last week. Now, let me preface this by saying this is not a shot at Hobbs, because some people, Sean, look at it as a shot at Hobbs, and you know who I'm talking about. This is not a shot at Hobbs. Hobbs, to me, looks like a champion, carries himself like a champion. I'm sure he'll have a great run as the TNT champion. Has nothing to do with Hobbs. It has to do with the booking of the segment and the booking of the finish, which was awful for a variety of reasons. Now, the first thing is there were certain people, devoted AEW fans, that said, oh, it was great long-term storytelling. Because back in September, QT Marshall did a thing on TV with Hobbs. It's great long-term storytelling. Here's the thing. Most people didn't fucking remember because it was so obscure and it happened long enough ago.
It is okay to play that afterwards and be like, you want to know why? Well, here's why.
Sure. But here's the problem. And I mean, no disrespect to QT Marshall. Like you said, he's a great guy in the locker room. I mean, no disrespect to him. On television, he has been presented as enhancement talent up until now. The audience has been conditioned to look at QT Marshall as enhancement talent. And so what the audience saw on Dynamite was enhancement talent, beating the shit out of Wardlow, helping Hobbs win the TNT championship.
I mean, come on. It's Hobbs and QT Marshall. It's not just like QT Marshall showed up, bowed up to Wardlow fresh and beat his ass like that. That is not
what Hobbs was hurt and QT came along low blowed Wardlow and then was very responsible for putting him through the crash pad.
Well, like, yeah. After like a falls count anywhere match had happened, he hit a guy in the nuts. This is not the same as like two guys just slugging it out. Like, it's just not, I understand that some people don't like it, but it's just like, I just don't think that's the same. And QT Marshall, like, I see people that are like, he should not be on TV. Buddy, I was at the Toronto shows. I saw them lean on him for 3 segments to get heat for other people. Like, I want to see the payoff of this before I'm like, this sucks. I ain't going to like it. There's a chance that it sucks. Absolutely. We see a lot of repeat stories in AEW. You got to go through this person to get to that person. I want to see the payoff before I'm like determined that it sucks so far. Maybe it'll end up being good. I know QT to be a very, very good performer. I just think that a lot of how he was presented, which was
exactly
here's him with a lot of guys that lose, didn't help him from a presentation standpoint.
Yeah, and that's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about QT the talent. I'm talking about the way he's presented. There was somebody on Twitter that said to me, well, the first time The Rock won the world title, he didn't win it clean. Sean, do you remember The Rock winning his worst world title thanks to an assist by the Brooklyn Brawler? Remember that happening? No. He won his first world title because of the corporation, the hottest heel act.
QT Marshall's not the Brooklyn Brawler. Come on.
Well, but he's not the corporation either, right? So
for example, let me look at last year. QT Marshall won 20-something matches last year in AEW. He won almost 30 the year before that, 15 the year, like all in all. I'll even put it by promotion too. Like, it's he's won 50 plus matches in AEW. Brooklyn Brawler ain't doing that. And people can say, no one watches Dark. It doesn't fucking matter. It happened. But
the audience watching Dynamite have been conditioned to look at him a certain way. That's just a reality. Sure. They don't look at him as even a mid-card guy. That's reality.
How many people have we seen that were conditioned to view people a certain way and they changed? I'm not saying he's going to be the Hardy Boys, but yeah. The Hardy Boys lost on TV for 5 years before they became tag champions. And I remember when they were tag champions, people were like, them? Really them? Well, now them works pretty well. I mean, there were people who used to avoid doing job work because they were afraid of getting saddled with that. Sure. But I mean, I just don't think that that's, when I hear the reactions, I said this about Baron Corbin for a long time. I'm not necessarily a fan of his presentation or the pushes, but when I went there live and I heard the way that people reacted to him, I was like, shit, okay. I understand why Vince is on the other side of this curtain going, okay, let's lean on this guy. I could understand why Tony Khan went to that Toronto show and leaned on QT for all those reactions and was like, we can rely on him. We can rely on him.
And I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree with that. I just think that, you know, the way that he's been presented, I think if you're a fan of AEW that's not a devoted fan, maybe you're sampling it for the first time or you watch it casually, that's not going to draw you back the way he's been presented. Here's the other issue that I had with that segment, and this is something that's been talked about before, the camera work. Yeah. You know, there's been a lot of criticism about the camera work in AEW. They did a certain angle and a certain tight shot of Wardlow going through that crash pad that made it very obvious that it was a very soft landing. My 5-year-old could have taken that spot and gotten up yelling again. It was a really poor, tight angle that they used. And I know AEW's gotten criticism before for their camera work. They really need to work on that. I know they have a really strong director in the truck, the guy that was supposed to be Kevin Dunn's heir apparent in WWE, but they need to work on the camera work because that bump was awful the way that they shot it.
Guys, we're going to get into some of these super chats. Tommy says QT to the E confirmed. I bet you he gets an offer at some point too. I guarantee you. I mean, close with Cody, can help develop talent. Like he's very, very versatile. Small snippets of light says, I don't get the, it happened on Dark. I would watch Dynamite Rampage on my laptop as well. It's all the same to me as the way I watch shows. I mean, there used to be angles that would happen on Superstars and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's an ease of access to this stuff as well. Vosco says, any predictions for MJF's rebar mitzvah? And where is it? Chi-Town Spur says, as a Jewish fan, I can't tell you guys how hilarious I'm finding the rebar mitzvah angle. Cool having this type of representation. And I can tell you that means a lot to MJF personally. Lots of women, I would expect, involved. That graphic is just the most ridiculous shit I've ever seen, Jimmy.
I saw that.
And I know his dad. So the fact that his dad paid for that shit is just the funniest thing to me.
You know, all I can say is that Winnipeg is not known for their establishments.
Oh, I would love it if like it just wasn't great. I would love it if he threw like a hissy fit, like his Super Sweet 16 didn't go the way he wanted. Somebody's got to ruin the birthday, right?
Sean, let me tell you, I took a friend to Winnipeg for him as part of his bachelor weekend. We went to different places for his bachelor weekend. One of them was Winnipeg. There was, you know, I'm a grown man. There was a strip club. It's his bachelor weekend. We take him to the strip club. We're talking to one of the girls, and one of the girls goes, "You're from Toronto. What the hell are you doing here?" That's all I have to say about Winnipeg.
Tommy Maynard says, Last of Us isn't getting canceled, though it should be. And then he said, LOL, did my comment get deleted? Like I said, soft. No, but now it is, you dumbass. How about that one? Justin Smith says, do you guys ever see the Judgment Day holding gold at the same time? All of them? No, probably not. It's not going to be like a big, like, just a big dominant stable.
Do you think, because it sure seems to me like Rhea's going to win the SmackDown Women's title. Do you think that is going to lead to a split? Or do you think that maybe all of Judgment Day ends up on SmackDown? Or, you know, where do you see that going?
Well, so that's the thing I've wondered is, okay, well, if she moves over, they got to make a point to draft Judgment Day over somehow. Like, I don't think that thing has seen its way completely through as of yet. Like, I don't think that's over by a long shot.
No, it shouldn't be. And they have been doing crossover stuff, but it's a little bit different when you're the SmackDown Women's Champion. Sure. You know? So,
Kieran George says, if not Bray, then who does Lashley wrestle at Mania? I'd be down for Lashley versus Cross. I don't think they would go there because they haven't pushed Cross enough. I said I would love if he won the Battle Royal and eliminated every single person in the Battle Royal.
It's not bad. Like,
and that'd be a way. And they say, okay, you get a world title shot off of this as well. That would be pretty cool, I think.
That's not bad. I was thinking somebody like Bron Breakker would be fun. Lashley and Bron Breakker.
Solo Sikoa or Bronson Reed would be
Solo great. Too. Yes. Yes. That'd be good too.
We've got Paul Anthony Moss saying, it's been 3 years since Edge returned as an active wrestler. The Royal Rumble return was epic, and the first year and a half back had good feuds. What kind of overall grade would you give his return? How do you feel, Jimmy?
B.
Really?
Yeah. The now, people have differing opinions on the WrestleMania match with Orton, the no crowd match. Some people like the creativity of it. I thought it was the utter shits, you know, that no crowd match they had. And the stuff with Finn Balor has been going on for what feels like 13 years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, he's done some stuff. I mean, his return to the Rumble was fantastic. The stuff with him and Beth Phoenix, I thought was a lot of fun. So there's been some stuff he's done that's been great, but there's been other things that has not. And so I'll give him a B.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm going to go C+. I think a lot of it's been lazy.
Okay.
And it's like, oh, here's another return. Here's another return. Here's another return. I think his in-ring, I think he's been incredible in-ring. Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I love the Clash of the Castle reaction that he got. Everybody was singing his song. That was cool. Yeah. When they did the Judgment Day turn, he had spent weeks cutting these promo shitting all over the crowd. And then just like that, he's back to the same music and presentation. You know, that you're right. That was kind of lazy. I don't know how much of that was his decision, but that was kind of lazy.
We've got Jeremy Harter saying, loved SRS's cameo on Ethan Page's toy vlog. That was cool. I always like doing those as well. Those are fun. Blues fan says, what do you think happens with Reigns after Mania? Reports that he's working every pay-per-view till SummerSlam.
Really?
I mean, that would be awfully nice if he worked every pay-per-view till SummerSlam, because I think what should happen is Usos lose the tag titles and Roman Reigns loses the world title. And then he blames them for all the shortcomings. It's never his fault, right?
That makes sense.
It's never his fault.
Yeah, yes. It makes sense. I thought that he would be gone for a while. I thought maybe gone until SummerSlam.
Yeah.
So I didn't know that he's advertised for the pay-per-views after Mania.
And we've got Amir saying, any news on Dark Side of the Ring? Yeah, it's coming back. It's going to come back. We've got Mr. CJ Lilly sending 3 super chats as we wrap up. We're about to head over to The List Goes On. It says, hey guys, with all the drama the last 2 weeks with Alexa and Bray, can we stop the celebrations for that they are having issues? Is there updates on either show after they give them a break? Well, Alexa wants to be there based on what she says. Also, we reported the Bray thing. It's not creative issues there. Seems like it is with Alexa, just based on what we've seen. But I don't think, listen, you can't keep casting those weirdo reactions on the broad fan base. There are going to be weirdos that are like, oh, yay, people are gone. Yay, people are fired. Yay, people are hurt. Those people are idiots. It seemed like they were poised to do something together. CJ Lilly says, Bray's absence doesn't push Alexa's return back. She seems ready to come back now, just needs the phone to ring, even if it's a torment Chelsea. Did you see Alexa's tweet where she was like, well, they know where I am?
No, but everything that you said makes perfect sense. I mean, they, even going into her match with Bianca, they were doing all this stuff, teasing Uncle Howdy and everything with her, and then they did nothing.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty convoluted. Everybody was alluding to the action figures that it was Alexa's hand, supposedly.
Yeah.
But otherwise,
I just think that was handy for them, right?
Yeah, like, yeah, maybe. But otherwise, they just haven't done anything with her. Nothing's made sense. you know?
Oh, man. Mr. CJ Lilly also says, I hope they're back soon. I'm annoyed Alexa is off her second Mania in a row, but perhaps they can both step back, get their story on track. Any updates on either Bray or Alexa? Bray, they're hoping, can be there for Mania. Alexa, I haven't heard any update in quite some time about Alexa. I'm just surprised they haven't figured out something for it. Seemed like they had some semblance of an idea of what to do.
Yeah, and they're not going to do anything with Lashley because Lashley doesn't have any female to back him up kind of thing. So it's not going to be with Lashley. It'd have to be after Mania.
Guys, reminder, please leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate that. We got one more chat. Patrick says, chances of Nicole Matthews being the mystery opponent. So many BC wrestlers that deserve the spot. So a lot of people saw her posting that she was taking U.S. bookings as like, oh, well, she's based out of the U.S. She's actually based out of Vancouver, she tells me. So it's possible. I think that they would probably save a mystery opponent as somebody with TV exposure.
Right.
But I think Nicole is phenomenal.
Is the bunny cleared?
That I don't know, and that's who I would expect.
Okay. Okay.
And Chaz Shaw says, do you think Gunther beats the IC record? I hope so. Honky Tonk Man sucked.
Oh, hey, his program with Savage was awesome. That program
all those
was
DQs
awesome.
And countouts and no contests and double countouts. It was great, man.
It was. Hey, go back and watch those Saturday Night's Main Event matches. They were. Now, granted,
all those conclusive endings, huh?
Outside of Savage, I can't really think of any memorable programs that Honky had, but the one with Savage was awesome. That was a great program.
Well, I'll tell you what's awesome. FightfulSelect.com. Head over there. We're about to talk about some AEW contract notes and things like that. We have notes from our Miyu Yamashita interview with Scott Edwards. And, of course, we got rundowns for all the shows every week. Until next time, guys, we're out.